Thank you, Andrew. Church, take your Bibles. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. At the end of our time together, we'll be looking at a passage in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and find that now, you can do so as well. As we mentioned, this begins our month of prayer in the Word. And so through this month, we'll be taking a pause from our study in the Gospel of John to focus on these two important disciplines of our lives, of prayer and the Word. We'll be alternating for the next 4 weeks on these two topics. Today I'll be preaching on the Word, on prayer. Next week, the Word, and the following week on prayer, and the last week of the month on the Word again. There is much that's written and given to us in Scripture itself about these two disciplines of prayer and the life of the believer and the importance of the Word of God. We have read the Word this morning, we've sung the Word this morning, we have prayed the Word this morning, and now we're about to hear the Word taught when it comes to the element and the discipline of prayer. There is just a vast amount in regards of what I could say to you as your pastor and what I want to share with you in regards to prayer. But I believe that as we approach 2021, this text is one that just continued to come to my mind in my time of prayer that I feel is important for us to hear as we begin this new year. We all have acknowledged and readily admit that 2020 was quite a challenge for each of us. Some of you have gotten COVID, made it through COVID, know people who have. It's challenged economics, it's challenged families, it's challenged relationships, it's challenged education, it's challenged life in many different ways. It's challenged and affected some people even spiritually to the negative aspect. They started off with thinking, this is great, it's making me evaluate. And then I think for some people it kind of waned in regards to that pursuit. So the importance of the month of prayer and the Word, as we began this 14 years ago, we began it with just a week of prayer and the Word. Last year we shifted that to a month of prayer and the Word because we believe that we need that reminder. We need to have the faith that we hold to encouraged, to be built up, to be reminded that these two disciplines are foundational to every area of our walk in Christ. We need prayer. It is like oxygen to our soul. We need it to be able to communicate with God. We need the Word because it is the way that God communicates with us. And so today, as we look at Luke 18, the theme and the topic of today's teaching and sermon is this: to pray and don't give up in 2021. Pray and don't give up in 2021. The reason why we give that particular title is because this is the point of the text in Luke 18. Jesus gives us a parable. A parable is a story that Jesus tells to be able to communicate a spiritual truth. If Jesus shared it in his day, that the need was for people to pray and not give up, then he understands the very nature of our flesh and our commitments to him. That we can be prone to have great zeal and for it to dwindle in a short time. Jesus knows that in regards to our vitality, that the enemy will come against us in regards to the commitments that we make. Just look back over 2020. I mean, how many of you began 2020 says, I'm going to read through the Bible in 2020 and it lasted 3 days? How many began 2020 and says, I'm going to spend time in great amounts of prayer only to be bombarded with the news every morning, and then you found your time and your energy quickly slipped away? Now, some of you may have made great commitments and you stuck with those, and for that I'm thankful, and I wanted to simply fan the flame for you. But all of us in this room have probably found times where we had commitments and they begin to dwindle. Today, I just want to encourage us from the Word of God that whatever it is that you feel that you need to pray about and pray for, I want to encourage you that Jesus is telling us in 2021 to pray and don't give up. Put the pedal to the metal and keep on going in your spiritual walk with Him. Now this week and this month, as we will talk about, we're going to have a prayer list that we are going to upload to our Church Center app and to our website to give you some time and a guide to know how to pray. So I want to put our schedule for this month of prayer and the Word on the screen for you. So this week, our encouragement to you is don't just begin 2021 and just let the new year come and quickly get involved in school and your rhythm of being retired. We want to challenge you this first week to spend some genuine, concentrated time in prayer together as a family or as an individual. Next week, we will have prayer gatherings in homes throughout our region. We will make those known next week. And then the last week of this month, our last Wednesday of this month, we're going to have some prayer gatherings, two of those, one in the morning at 10 o'clock and one in the evening at 6 o'clock. Time to worship together and pray together for our church, for our country, as we seek His faith. And then, Lord willing, as we transition out of that the very next week, the first Wednesday in February, we will begin our Wednesday ministries again, Lord willing. Our challenge today is not simply to hear these things, but the challenge is to make it practical and real in our everyday life. Now, as we look at today's text, I want you to think about your own prayer life. What has your prayer life consisted of this past year? If you were to have someone to describe, to write an autobiography of your life, or a biography of your spiritual life, what does that look like? If they just zoomed in and took a snapshot of your prayer life, what would we put on the screen? Would the description of your prayer life be, this person simply prays to God only when they are in trouble? Snapshot two, this person only prays when it's time to have a meal. Snapshot three, this person only prays a few words right before they go to sleep. End of snapshot. Does that describe your prayer life? Or does your snapshot say this person spends some concentrated, focused time communing with God? If the first snapshots are simply what describes our lives, I simply want to say to you, God wants so much more for you and for us. One of the reasons why we take the time as a church to do what we do this morning is because one of our core values as a church is passionate prayer. I want to read it to you. This is one of the seven core values that we talk about, even in our membership class. Our core value of passionate prayer is this. We emphasize that prayer should be passionate in every individual believer and in corporate times of worship. Passionate defines prayer as being regular and fervent. Prayer is an instrument by which the Holy Spirit empowers the individual and the corporate body of believers to live for God. Passionate, regular, fervent, regular, fervent. That's passion. Notice it's not, passion is not equated with volume. Passionate means that someone who's committed and urgent, you could say nothing with volume and still be passionate in your prayers. I simply want to encourage us from the Word of God that God wants so much more. What are you committed to pray for this year? What is it that maybe you look back in 2020 that you've had something, and maybe you set out to pray each day for God and something you're praying for doesn't get answered, but you've given up? Maybe you were committed this past year. You pour out your heart to God and you're wondering, is God even listening? Maybe you're pouring out your heart to God to fix your marriage and it still seems nothing's getting better. Or you're pouring out your heart to God for the salvation of your children, but nothing seems to be changing. Or you're pouring out your heart to God to change your situation, your struggle, your battles, but you're wondering, are you getting anywhere? Why in the world should you keep praying if nothing seems to change? Anybody felt that way? In 2021, I want to remind you from God's Word that Jesus says in all the situations that I just listed and maybe more that's already popped up in your mind, Jesus says, keep on praying and don't give up. So as we look at the text this morning, in Luke 18, Jesus gives us a parable to teach us this truth. Some of you have committed prayer lives, and some of you may have come in here worn out, tired spiritually. I want to give you hope this morning. Because I don't want to just simply tell you to pray and not give up. I want to give you the reasons why that Jesus teaches us to pray and not give up for 2021. This text that we're going to read in Luke 18, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. There's two parables that Jesus gives. They are coupled together to communicate a truth to us in regards to the need to be faithful, consistent in our prayer lives, but also the need to have the right attitude in doing so. Now, this context of this parable is not set in the stage when things are easy. We live in a context right now where things are difficult. And so if any passage really relates to what we're going through, I believe this passage does so. I want to read the parable first, and then I want to put it in context for us to understand what Jesus is teaching us in regards to the fervency, the consistency of constantly being committed to pray, ongoing, and not giving up. Let's look at Luke 18. Let's just read verses 1 through 8. This is the parable, as it's called, about the persistent widow. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, just contextually, syntactically, and hermeneutically, you should understand that if the first verse is beginning with the conjunction "and he told them a parable," you know this has to connect with the previous chapter. We cannot make this story be isolated away from its context. I want to read the story, and then I want to connect the context to help us to understand what Jesus is teaching us. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" And the Lord said, now, so end of verse 5 is the end of the parable. And now Jesus is about to teach us the meaning. Verse 6, "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Now understand the point of where this topic and this title come from is because notice, if you in verse 7, Jesus is saying that God is listening to those who pray when? Day and night. And then at the end of verse 8, you notice that Jesus is saying that when the Lord comes back, the Son of Man, that the Son of Man, will he find this type of faith on the earth? What's the faith referring to? To those who plead with him until the time that Jesus comes back. So how long should we pray and not give up? Not just till 2021 is over, but until the Son of Man, Jesus, returns. That's the context that Jesus is saying. I want to show you the connection here. Because notice, if you look at verse 8 again, notice the wording that is used. We want to connect it to chapter 17 to understand the truth. Look at verse 8 again. "I tell you, he," meaning God, "will give justice to them," who is them, referring to the elect, those who are his children who are praying day and night. He's going to give it to them speedily. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Who is the Son of Man? That's referring to Jesus. So here's the context. Jesus is teaching a parable that we should pray always. Because look at verse 1. What's Jesus say the point of this parable is? That we should always pray and what? Not lose heart. We're all prone to lose heart. We're all prone to discouragement. So the point of this is to pray and not lose heart until when? Until the Son of Man comes. This is in the context. This is teaching in the context of what it's going to be like even at the end of time before Jesus comes back. How do we know that? Go back to chapter 17. Let me show you the context, and then let's try to put this together so we can walk through this. In chapter 17 and verse 20 through 21, you can just make notes there, that the point is here is that the Pharisees are asking Jesus, when is the Son of Man going to come? When is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus makes it very clear. The kingdom of God's already here, meaning the rule and reign of Christ is already here. But what they're thinking is, when are you coming to overthrow the Roman powers? When is the Messiah going to come and rule and reign? When is the Son of Man going to come? And so Jesus then makes a point is that I'm already here, but the Son of Man is going to come again. And when he does come again, it's going to be like the days of Noah were. You know what the days of Noah were? Wicked, vile, unrighteous. Look at the point. Verse 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of what? The Son of Man. The same phrase that's used in chapter 18, verse 8. If you were to look at my Bible right now, you would see scribble scratch all over these verses. Because I've circled Son of Man here, drawn an arrow over to chapter 18, verse 8. You say, why do you draw in your Bible? Because I'm learning. I'm reading. I'm studying. And so I got arrows all over this thing. Because I want you to see the connection, because Jesus is not disconnecting this truth in chapter 17 to the prayer effectiveness in chapter 18. Jesus is saying when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be like the days of Noah. What's it going to be like? Verse 27, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What's that mean? They were going about like normal lives, things were wicked, they were vile, and they thought they were okay. Can we say that's exactly the way life is now? People are just doing what they want to do. They think they're okay, but judgment is coming. All Noah knew to do was to be ready. Do you see parallels in this passage of Scripture to us? We simply need to be ready, knowing that there is judgment that's going to come. And then verse 28, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Here's the context. It was wicked. It was vile. They were unrighteous. Noah was faithfully a proclaimer of righteousness as Peter describes him in his epistles. And then you get to chapter 18 and Jesus is telling us, here's a parable of how we need to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart in what context? Like the context of Noah when things were difficult, not when things were great. So in this challenge of Luke 18 and the challenge I'm giving you as we go into in 2021 and this commitment to pray, it is not the fact, hey, let's just pray that 2021 is better. Let me tell you something. Before the Son of Man comes, it's going to get worse. So the commitment we need to hear, what Jesus is saying is, he's not looking for people to have easy believism. He's looking, look at verse 8 of chapter 18 again. What is he looking for? Notice what Jesus said. This is not Luke making this statement. This is Jesus. Jesus says, I tell you, God will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When Jesus comes back, what is he looking for? People who are faithful to pray and not give up. Hear me clearly. You don't need to be fretful of the end of time. Because if you have a commitment and a communion and a close relationship with God and you're faithfully praying day and night, it will be your ability and your endurance to make it through times like the day of Noah. So my encouragement to you, this is not a doom and gloom sermon, by the way. This is not to say that Byron is predicting 2021 is the day of Jesus' return. No one knows that. Correct? If someone says that they do, they're false. They're a false prophet. No one knows that. Jesus even teaches that. But this is an encouragement that I want you to understand. As we go into 21, if you want vitality and you want spiritual endurance and you want growth, then what we need is a commitment to be able to pray and commune with God consistently and passionately. Now let's look at the parable. That's the context. Let's look at this. There's two characters in this story. There's a judge and then there's a widow. I want to kind of explain the story and then I want to ask the question, why should we want to pray and not give up in 2021? Well, here's the two characters. Number one, you have a judge. How did Jesus describe him? That's interesting that Jesus uses a negative example to teach positive truths here. And this is not uncommon because Jesus even talks about when he comes, he'll be like a thief in the night. Doesn't mean that Jesus is a thief and he's coming just to steal something, but the thief comes when no one knows. And here's an example that Jesus is using a negative example to teach and a contrast how God's character is different than this judge. So how is this judge described? Look at the text again there in verse 2. It says the judge doesn't fear God nor fear man. Well, what in the world does he have business being a judge? Now, if he's a Jewish judge, then he certainly shouldn't be a judge. Because if he's a Jewish judge, he's supposed to be a judge of the law. And so if he doesn't fear God, then why in the world would he be a judge of the law anyways? If he doesn't fear God, he didn't care for the law of God. And he doesn't fear man. Well, most likely, this is probably a Gentile judge that Jesus has given an example of. And Gentile judges who were not believers at that time, this was a common description of them. They cared less about God and they cared less about man. Do you realize these are the top two commandments that we're told? To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Here's a judge who doesn't have either one of those. Now, the point of this is that Jesus has given a contrast to the greatness of God and his character to the unrighteous judge and his character. This judge, as we know, that he is one that is not part of the high court, because in that day they would have high courts, and then they would have these individual judges that people could go to if they couldn't get to the high court. This is who he is. Now, when a judge in that day made a decision, the decision was rendered and it was done. But this judge hadn't met this widow. Now, this widow, how does Jesus describe this widow? Well, first of all, we see in this passage of Scripture in verse 3 that there's a widow that just keeps coming to him over and over again. Well, first of all, if a widow is coming to the judge, then that means she's in a desperate situation because she doesn't have a family member or a husband or anyone close relative to her to be her advocate. She's all alone. She probably doesn't have any financial means to be able to pay any kind of legal sources. So she's just simply pleading for the mercy of the judge, and this judge doesn't care. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about this woman's needs. So it gives him the right, the reason to just put her off. If he doesn't care about God, then why would he care about men? So he's just putting her off. So we know that she has some financial means, but what is her situation? Look at the text again. She says in the end of verse 3, give me justice against my adversary. We don't know what her adversary is. She's got someone who's opposed to her. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's someone that's just harassing her. But nevertheless, it's someone that keeps coming and bothering her over and over again. But the judge has rendered a decision. And so she just keeps going over and over again. Now, I want you to understand a possible scenario. Imagine with me that they're in this city that Jesus is giving this parable with, and people would line up to see these judges. All right, so he has seen her once, twice, three, four, five, 10 times. We don't know how many times, but over and over again. And so you can just imagine people would know. I mean, it's a city, so people probably knew the situation. So here's this lady, she's in line, and the people in front of her and behind her is like, you hear again? Really? He's already told you no. How many times? But her passion was she was going to get justice. So she goes over and over again. So you can just imagine the judge sitting there on his chair, his bench, I don't know, tree stump, rock, whatever it is in this particular situation, waiting to see all these people. And then this person moves out of the way, and then there she is again. And so you can just imagine the judge going, you again. Nope. Next. But she's not going to give up. Guess what she's going to do? She's going to get in the back of the line again, and she's going to come right up there. And that person moves, and there she is again. He's like, nope. Over, over, over. You get the picture. You understand the situation. She's pleading. She's got an adversary. She needs help because she can't do it on her own. No one's helping her. She's desperate. All she knows to do. Her only hope is this judge. So finally, this has happened over and over again. To what does the judge say in the end of verse 5? Look at the text. But because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now, some of you have different translations than what I'm reading from in the ESV. Some of your translations may say something to the effect, I'm going to do this because she's pestering me. I'm going to do this because she's harassing me. Or I'm going to give her justice because she's wearing me out. Literally, the text says, I'm going to do this because I don't want her to hit me under the eye. It's an idiom in their culture, meaning that if you gave someone a black eye, you've marred their character. You've shamed them. Very much like in our own day, do we say we don't want to give someone a black eye. We're saying we don't want to mar their reputation. This man, this judge, is standing here judging all these people. And so she's probably going back to the line saying, he doesn't care about me. So his character is on the line. She is saying, I am going to go back and back and back to prove that this judge needs to hear my case. Now, this is the scenario. You have a woman who's begging for an answer. She's not giving up. She's pleading day after day after day. And then Jesus now says, now, that's an unrighteous judge. Let me tell you how God is. So now, this comes to the point. With this commitment to pray and not give up in 2021, ask the question is, if this is a story that Jesus is teaching us, that we should pray and not give up and not lose heart, the point is now Jesus is going to teach how God's character is in direct contrast to this unrighteous judge. So let me give you a few reasons. Why can you pray and not give up in 2021? Number one, because God genuinely cares for you. In this particular situation, we see that here's a man who doesn't care for man or for God, and she's just simply one more number. He's unjust. Notice the description in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, which is the contrast to who God is. God is fully righteous, fully true, fully pure, fully right. And so, God, as you go to him, here is one who truly cares for you. This man didn't care at all, but God, how do we know he cares for us? Because notice, look at verse 7. Will God give justice to his elect, to his children who cry to him day and night? God hears your pleadings. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on him because he, what? Cares for you. So if you think that your need is too small, cast it to God. If you think that your need and your worry is too big, cast it to God. If you think that you've gone a bunch of times and you don't think that he cares to hear from you again, cast it on him, because he's not like this unrighteous judge. He cares about your need. Secondly, you can pray and not give up because God welcomes our continual petitions. He is not like this unrighteous judge that is bothered by the coming. So let me rephrase it this way. God is not bothered by your continual pleading. Plead with him. Call to him. You say, well, I've prayed for that for a couple of years. Then keep doing it. I've used this book almost every year to illustrate my continual pleading. This is my prayer journal. There's some sweet times in this prayer journal. God doesn't get tired of my pleading for the things that I pray for in this journal. In fact, some of you are sitting here as answers to the prayers that I pleaded for God in this journal. Monday, I pray for lost people. Some of you that's sitting here that's redeemed is because you used to be on my Monday list. But now, you're on my Tuesday list. Because on Tuesday, I'm praying for those who've come to faith in Christ, that God would shore them up in their faith. I'm pleading for God. So when I pray for you on Tuesday, thank God that he's not saying, do you have to pray for them one more time? So then on Wednesday, when I flip over the page, and by the way, Tuesday is so good, man. I look at who got saved in this year and who got saved in the last year and the last year. It's just good. So good. God, it's awesome. Then on Wednesday, when I'm praying for our staff and their families, and I'm praying for the needs of our church, and I'm praying for the future of our church, God doesn't get tired of me praying for the future of the church. Then on Thursday, when I pray for our deacons and their families, and I pray for our compassion ministry, and I pray for our small group teachers and their families, and for God to give them growth in the Word of God, that God can bless them when they open up the Word of God. He'll give blessedness and sweetness in the teaching and great community. And then when I pray on Friday, I'm praying for the missionaries that God has used to send out from our church and people that we're connected with. Then on Saturday, I'm pleading for God for this Sunday. And on Sunday morning, I'm simply soaking up and I'm praying for the sermon. I thank God that he is not an unrighteous judge that gets tired of those prayer requests that I give him. My encouragement to you, you don't have to be like Byron Brown, but I'm just encouraging you as an example. Sometimes I prayed for some of these things for years before God answered them. But the reason why you can pray and not give up is because we have a God who cares for us. We have a God who cares that we lay those petitions before Him because it shows that we are not dependent upon ourselves and our ability, but we are dependent upon the God that we read about in Jeremiah chapter 32, 27 that says, "Is there anything too hard for me?" So when I pray for the lost person, I'm believing that nothing's too hard for him. When I'm praying for the people that I'm counseling with, for situations to be resolved, marriages to be healed, addictions to be broken, do I believe that God can heal those things? Do you? I do. Because I'm laying it before him. So I'm thankful that when I wake up in the mornings, and believe me, there's been times where God has had to remind me to pick that prayer book up again because maybe a week has passed or 2 weeks have passed, and then God brings me back to that again to say, look what I've done. You know the reason why I like to keep a prayer journal is because maybe in those moments when Satan thinks he tells you that things aren't working, you just go back and you see the work of God in history. Let me tell you a third reason why you can pray and not give up is not just because God cares for you, and because God welcomes your continual petition. Let me just pause there before I go to the third one. The way this looks practically. When you call out to His name as your Father, you are His child, and He welcomes your voice. He welcomes your plea to Him. He wants to hear from you. Third reason why you can pray and not give up is because God is working in the seeming delays. Now, some of us would want to quit praying when we've prayed and it doesn't seem that anything is changing. But I want to show you in this text, and I want to show you some supporting scripture that you can keep on praying because it's very probable, not just possible, but it's very probable that what you're praying for, and it may seem that in your timetable that it's not being answered, that God in His sovereign providential hand is working behind the scenes to bring about what you're pleading for on a continual basis. Look at the text. Once you see it, verse 7. And verse 8. Will not God give justice to His elect? Remember, this woman wants justice. She has an adversary. She's pleading for an answer. She's going over and over again. Time has passed. Finally, the unrighteous judge gives an answer. Here, we see that Jesus is saying, God, will He not give justice to His elect? If you put it in the context, if we even think about the context of what He's talking about in chapter 17, at the end of times and suffering and struggling, and you're praying for God to bring relief. Listen closely to me. This means that maybe even in the end that there's going to be suffering and struggling and tribulation, and you're pouring out your heart to God to say, God, why are you not answering? You ask that to the Christians who are in Sudan, that their houses get burned when chemicals are poured on their bodies of their relatives, and they're pleading to God and saying, God, when are you bringing help? We don't even have a clue in our comfortable American Christianity of what true Christianity is like and suffering around the world. You're suffering? No. You read the Voice of the Martyrs and you see people who are delimbed and are murdered and are killed, and churches are bombed when they're full of people. That's suffering and struggling. And they're pleading and they're crying out, oh God, give us justice. And then Jesus gives this amazing statement. Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them. How? Say it. Speedily. According to whose speed? If it's your speed, it's yesterday. But in the context of eternity, He will answer speedily on the judgment day when the Son of Man comes. If justice doesn't happen prior to His coming, He will answer it. But here's what I want you to understand. Why would God wait till the end? Because there are times where justice happens. Or why would it wait that God would take so long to answer your pleadings for your marriage to get better? Or for the lost child or parent or sibling to get saved? Or the pleading that you have for the addict in your family, for God to redeem them and to heal them. Why is it taking so long? It's not a question of God's ability. We cannot understand the sovereign time and providential mind of God. But there may be circumstances that God is working behind the scenes. And listen closely, God will use the prayer as a means to accomplish His will to bring those things about. That's why He says in James 5, bring the sick to the elders and pray for them so they could be healed. So God uses prayer as a means to bring these things about. So keep on praying for the addict to be redeemed. Keep praying for the sin that you want to conquer. Keep praying for the lost person you want to get redeemed. Keep praying for your marriage to get better. Keep praying for God to bring laborers for the harvest. Keep praying because He's working even when we cannot see it. Listen, your prayers are not built upon your knowledge. Your prayers are built upon the character and the truth of God. This is why we do the month of prayer in the Word, because your prayer life will grow as you grow in the truth of the Word of God and you understand the character of the nature of God. You pray those truths to God. So when you're losing heart, when you're getting discouraged and nothing seems to be coming about, you can look at this text and you can pour out and say, God, thank you that you don't get tired of me praying for this same person over and over again. But God, I trust that you can answer this speedily in your time. Could it possibly be that the reason why God's not bringing justice to the particular person you're praying justice for is because He wants to redeem them also? Could it be that the situation you're begging for God to get you out of is the reason why He ain't got you out of it? Because there are certain things in your character that needs to be refined? Oh God, get me out of this situation. But maybe it's God wants to put you right there, keep you right there, because maybe there's some purging and maybe some faith, as 1 Peter talks about and James talks about, in our testing and our trials that we need to get refined. Maybe we need to change the way we're praying. Instead of just saying, God, get me out of this, say, God, what is it you need to teach me in the midst of this? Praying and not giving up because God may be working. I want to show you an example of this. I asked you at the beginning to have Revelation 6. I want to encourage you to turn there now. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Here's an example of the pleading that's happening actually by the martyrs who are around the throne of God, pleading for mercy for their blood to be avenged, and God says, not yet. Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. When Jesus opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long? How long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? Do you hear their prayer? They're wanting justice. Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Do you hear what Jesus says? Justice is not coming. More people are going to die for the faith. And then justice is coming. I want you to hear the truth of God in the beginning of 2021. That whatever situation you have, I want to build your heart of encouragement to know that God hears your pleading. And He cares for your pleading. And He welcomes your pleading. Now, this doesn't mean that all of your prayers that are going to be prayed in 21 are not going to be answered until Jesus comes back. So don't leave today's like, well, when is it going to come? Thanks, Pastor Byron. That was really encouraging to begin 2021. I don't know when or how God will answer it. But what I do know is I am encouraged to know that He cares for what I am giving Him. And I am trusting that He knows what is best and when it's best to answer that. Now, I want you to go back to Luke 18, and I want to give you one more character description of God that is not clearly stated in the text, but is implied. Remember, the whole point of this parable is Jesus is teaching us how this unrighteous judge didn't care for people or God. And God in His very character is different. Do you understand that God in the very essence of His character is different? Because God in the essence of His character is love, where this man is not. So God does care because it is in His character to care. But I want to show you a fourth one. We've already said that we pray because He cares for us. We can pray and not give up because we know that He cares for our continual petition, that He's not worn out by our praying for it over and over again. So those of you who are in small groups, let me just kind of make a practical application here. If someone is asking for the same prayer every week, over and over again, learn to have the heart of God and just keep praying with them for those needs. Thirdly, we've learned that God may be working in the delays, but the fourth reason I want to tell you that you can keep on praying, and it is this: because God knows your needs before you even ask them. This unrighteous judge on his first encounter didn't know what this woman's need was until he met her. But here's the vast difference. God knows our needs, our petitions, our worries, our concerns, even before you voice them. That, church family, is a sign of an amazing, caring, and compassionate God, because if He knows them and He still entertains them. I mean, how many of you have had people come up to you and start to say something and you've tried to fill in the sentence for them and you were completely wrong? And then you feel like a fool in that moment. You're like, oh, okay, well, what did you want to say? God never has that error. I never have to begin opening my mouth and God miss. I don't have to say, oh, no, God, that's not what I said. God knows because He's not unrighteous. He is righteous and true and pure. So we see that Jesus is teaching us in this passage of Scripture that we should go back to verse 1, that we should always pray and not lose heart. But I want to... Check 1, 2. Just so you know, I don't like using these because I feel like a televangelist when I get up here with a microphone like this. Just need me a red suit and fancy shoes. It's true. I want to transition to the next parable, because it would be dangerous for us to only hear this truth and disconnect it from the second parable. And here's the reason why. Because some of us in this room could hear this, and those online, we could say, okay, Pastor, I get it. I'm going to be committed to prayer. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to get a book. I'm going to write down prayer needs on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to pray every day for 2021. And you could possibly accomplish that for the entire year of 2021 and it all be in vain. Hear me as your pastor. I am not asking you to be a religious check off the box person. There is a danger to become religious ritualism and not have life in the commitment. That is the point of verse 9 through 14. Jesus is continuing this thought as He's taught about praying and not losing heart. As He just continues without losing the point of His message, He then says another parable to some of them. And He's teaching it, and here's what we need to do. I want to give you the point, and I want to read the text. We need to pray and not give up in 2021, but we need to be humble before God
in our continual pleading. Because you could almost be pleading with God and almost be demanding to him that he's supposed to do it, because you could say, God, you told me to plead with you every day and night, and so I'm doing that. But then you could be prideful and arrogant and not have the attitude that honors God. Quickly, verses 9 through 14. Two characters that are in this story, the Pharisee and the tax collector. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you know why Jesus has to give this parable in connection with the previous truth? Because all the way back in chapter 17, if you look at verse 20, look who's asking the questions. Being asked by who? The Pharisees about the kingdom of God and the return of Christ. So Jesus is teaching in chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, in regard to making certain that we can pray and not lose heart, but so that these Pharisees don't boast in their ritualism and their self-righteousness, he gives a parable about them. Talk about a smack in the face. Do y'all get it? Jesus is saying, look, here's the problem between those two people. And so if you're wanting to be diligent and pray in 2021, the point is this. Here's the problem. I'm just going to summarize it because of our time. The problem with the Pharisee is his standard of righteousness was himself. So if you compare yourself to yourself all the time, you can make yourself look really good. Man, I did better this week. Whew. I'm on the upward road. I prayed 6 times this week. Last week it was 4. I even fasted 1 time this week. But man, I heard about that guy at church. He only prayed 4 times last week. I'm doing good. So I can pray day and night and God's going to hear me. Nope. What the tax collector got right. Now, do you understand the reason Jesus gives a tax collector? He was hated by people. He was an extortioner. He was one who did people wrong. But do you know the vast difference between this man? Because they both go up to the temple. Do you realize people can both go to the house of God and one person could be in the right attitude and the other person could be wrong? Here's the difference. Notice verse 13. He would not even lift up his eyes to heaven and said, God, be merciful. His standard of righteousness was not himself, but to God. He understood in this teaching that Jesus is giving about us praying and not giving up is that the necessity to pray and continually give up or not give up and pray daily over and over again in 2021 is the fact that we must be like this tax collector and continually lay ourselves before God and say, God, I'm just a sinner. I need your help. Literally, the Greek text says this, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I love what C.J. Mahaney said. C.J. Mahaney is a pastor up in Kentucky now. He said, I'm the greatest sinner I know. I can't look at your sins and then look at this person's sins and then try to put it on a scale compared to mine, because we will always find someone that's better than us and someone that's always worse than us. That's why in our continually praying to God and not giving up, we must lay ourselves before the righteousness and the mercy of God. And we say, the only reason that I can continually go before God over and over again is because he cares for me, this sinful man. The reason why I can go before God is because he welcomes this sinful man to lay my continual petitions before God. The reason why I can go to God is because he cares cares for me. And even though it's a seeming delay in my sinfulness, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to keep going to him. And I know he knows my needs before I ask him, because I'm going to lay myself before the mercy of God, because I know it's not based upon my righteousness. The reason why I'm praying for us as a church and praying for my family and praying for me, it's not based upon my righteousness. It's only going to be based upon the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. So if you feel that you're unworthy, none of us are. But I want to tell you that there's mercy with God. So this morning, I want to give you a verse. We said earlier, 1 Peter 5:7, but I want to now give you verse 6 and 7 together. Because it puts both of these truths of casting and humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. To humble ourselves is to acknowledge the righteousness of God and our reliance on his mercy. I don't have it on the screen, but I would plead with you to read verse 8 with us. Because in this parable, the widow has an adversary coming against her. Verse 8 of 1 Peter 5. Be watchful, because your adversary, Satan, is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Verse 9, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee. Do you know why you need to pray and not give up in 2021? It's because our adversary is going to be chasing after you and me. So we desperately need, so on the weeks that you think that you're doing good, don't let down your guard, because he wants to throw the darts. In the moment when you cruise. My encouragement to you, the job that you need in 21, keep praying. The sin that you want to kill, keep praying. The lost person you want to see saved, keep praying. The addiction that you want to keep conquering, keep praying. The addict that you want to see redeemed, keep praying. The marriage you want to see healed, keep praying. The need for a stronger desire in your own life to seek God wholeheartedly, keep praying. The need for labors for the harvest in Redemption Church, keep praying. Don't give up. Pray, because he cares. He knows your need, and he welcomes your petition. We'll end with this verse. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Bow your head with me as our musicians will come. I don't know what your prayer life is like, but I can honestly say that even in my own life, I want it to be better. I want to commune more. I want to seek him more. Some of you in this room have come in with great disciplines, or those of you listening online, and you simply have made great commitments and great strides. My encouragement to you is keep running that race. But some of you in this room may have walked into 2021 and weary, tired, worn out, and not even feeling like the need to keep on trying. And today, God's word is a reminder to you that God does care for you. He cares about whatever needs it is that you have. And the word from Jesus is to pray and not lose heart. And to trust that even when you can't see him working, he's working. Now, some of you in this room may not have yet asked Christ to be your king. The prayer that God will hear is when you plead for salvation you ask him to be your Savior and King, he will hear you and will save you. I encourage you today that if you do not know Christ, call out to him. Father, in this room, as we begin 2021, and for those who are at home who are listening, thank you, Lord, that this word encourages our hearts to know that you are a God who cares, and that you teach us, challenge us, encourage us to pray and not lose heart. So, Lord, I pray for those individuals today who maybe in 2020 they were praying for different situations, and along the way they threw up their hands, they threw the towel in and said, what's the use? But today, God, you've reminded them, pick the towel up and get back on your knees and to keep praying, because you are a God who cares and you know our needs. So God, I pray for the discouraged heart in this room and those across the stream waves, for those who have been discouraged, who feel that it's impossible or it's futile. Oh God, we beg you today to light the fire again in our passion and our belief in you. So God, I pray also that you would answer prayers this year in 2021. You would heal marriages. You would help people keep conquering the sins and the addictions. God, that you would bring souls into your kingdom. You would bring laborers for the harvest. Oh God, I pray you push us, challenge us, remind us. Let us not grow weary. And so now, Lord, in this moment of response time, as we hear the truths of this word, that you are the one who can hold us fast, even in our times of our sorrow or our struggle, I pray, Lord, that as we leave this room today, we will trust in the God who cares for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, as we respond to this truth of what we've heard, I'll be here at the front. John, our family member care pastor, will be out by the coffee bar. If you need privacy and you want to go see him, you can go out there and pray. But maybe you just need to be quiet. Maybe you need to stay seated and just be able to let God challenge you of what you need to do different this year. And maybe you've lost hope, and now it's time where you say, God, I need to renew my faith in you. As we sing this song, hear the words, God can hold us fast through this year. Let's sing it to him as we respond.